So it's that time again when everybody starts to think about their garden and what they want to plan for this year. And I'll tell you, I had a lot of questions myself. That's why I have called in the experts. And today I'm pleased to be able to speak with Rebecca Sweet, who is a landscape designer in California and has a company called Harmony in the Garden. And Rebecca's gardens have been featured in fine gardening magazines, and she just has a ton of great tips to give us. So we're so glad to have you here today, Rebecca.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, as you can imagine, Rebecca, a lot of people are probably thinking, what should they do with their garden? Of course, they're doing their spring cleaning and so on, but what are some of the questions that people should ask themselves before they start planting their garden this spring?
Well, it's perfect timing that you ask me this because my phone is starting to ring again from people asking the same question. And as spring approaches, they start wondering how they get started. And I always ask them primarily, what's your goal? What is it you want to do? Is it instant gratification, which I think lots of times it is. People are coming out of the winter doldrums, and all they want is to have some color and fragrance in their lives. But lots of times they might be wanting to take on a larger project, maybe want to redo a couple of beds, things that didn't quite work out or survive the winter. Or maybe it's a long-term project where they want to put in a patio or arbor or a barbecue, in which case it's a great time to start calling those contractors and getting on their schedule. So the first thing I say is, what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish?
As a designer, do you have any tips for those of us who are a little design challenged in terms of selecting colors or repeating patterns or any general tips that you could give people for laying out their garden in an attractive way?
There's definitely some quote unquote rules, which I use the term really loosely. For example, a lot of magazines and a lot of people will say, you want to plant in odd numbers, not even numbers. It just tends to look a little more natural. So, which I do, I follow, but not, I don't follow it all the time. Sometimes it is okay just to plant two of something instead of five of something. I would say things tend to look better grouped in more than one, so maybe have three of something or seven of something, again using the odd numbers. It just makes more of an impact. When I first started gardening, and I think a lot of beginning gardeners do this, I think it's really common, you just buy one of each plant. And that's fine. If you just love collecting plants, that's great, but it can lead to a somewhat chaotic look. And at some point, as you progress, you're going to say, what's the problem here? I don't like my garden. And that's probably the reason. So that's when you can start taking some of the plants out and repeating patterns or plants. I don't always repeat the same plants. Something that I find is really effective, if, for example, if you want to repeat a color, use different plants but that have the same color. So you might use, let's say you want to do burgundy, you could use a loropetalum, and then you could use a barberry or a dark burgundy heuchera. So it's not so matchy-matchy. We have a little rhythm here in our garden, and everything matches. You have repetition of color, but different plants, and that's what makes a garden really interesting.
I do tend to prefer to have to organize by color rather than to have too much of the same thing, probably because I'm one of those that would prefer to buy one of every single plant.
Yeah, right. And everybody's different. And some people want a very limited color palette, three colors only or one color only. Some people want it really, really bright and festive. So, I really always try and find out from each person what it is that they want, and not to be intimidated. If you like all orange, then have an all orange garden. Don't be intimidated and let other people tell you that that doesn't look good. Don't just do orange marigolds. Maybe you can do a whole bunch of different really neat orange plants. So just find out what you like and feel comfortable and do it.
That's great. Speaking of color, if you have a garden center further away that you're looking at from a further distance, what do you recommend in terms of color for having the most impact? For example, I made a mistake of having too many blues and purples in a bed that were kind of not as noticeable from a far distance because of the color.
Because they were so similar.
Exactly. And they were so
Yeah.
light. And so, do you have any thoughts about how to use color for the most impact?
Actually, I do. I love the color burgundy. For example, burgundy, I use that in the last example. But I think it's a great color because it actually leads the eye. And I wish I had a photograph to show you. But, you know, burgundy can be used to direct the eye. So if you do have a way down the line some purple, like you were talking about, you want to have something to draw your eye to it. And another color that does that is silver, like silver foliage. And those two colors, burgundy or silver, are also really good at separating the blues from the purple. You know, you might use a yellow, something like that, a brighter color, or a white, something very different to that kind of separates the two colors. Otherwise, from a distance, they will absolutely start to blend together. It can look good because then you get that, you know, if you didn't separate it, you get a big mass quantity of one color, which can really make a nice impact. But, you know, if you're wanting to see the different shades, you're not going to see them so much like you experienced.
So when people are planning and they get started on a project, what are some of the biggest I don't want to say mistakes, but what are some of the biggest things that people tend to do that they later wish they hadn't?
I would say the biggest mistake in terms of spring planning is going berserk in the nurseries. And I do it.
I
I
do
think
it
we all
too.
do it. You know, you just can't wait. Spring is finally here, and you get to the nursery, and it's just row after row of these candy colored flowers. And, you know, you kind of lose all common sense. It's like a feeding frenzy. People just, I was at the nursery this morning, and it was just a madhouse. And what happens is you end up buying things you don't really need, and you don't have a spot for them. So to prevent that, what I do is I take pictures, the sections of my garden that need a little love. And, you know, I'll print out maybe four pictures per page, and I have my little piece of paper with me. And I cruise the nursery, and I just see what's available first. And then I just start walking along and finding the plants that will fit that spot. And I tell you can really prevent a lot of unnecessary purchases doing that. It really keeps you focused.
That's a great idea to take pictures. And you mentioned making sure that the plant fit into the spot. That's probably another big challenge, isn't it? That people kind of forget about
Yeah.
how big that plant will eventually
Yeah.
grow.
I call it size denial. And I too suffer from that. You know, you see the perfect little shrub and you love it. And it's just this nice little 2x2 shape. But the tag says it's going to be 6x6. And you think, oh, it's going to be 6x6 in other people's yard, not my yard. And then you end up trimming it and shearing it, and it doesn't look right, and it's just not going to be happy. So, you know, I'd say the second mistake people make is they don't read the plant tags thoroughly, and they don't believe the plant tags. So pay attention to the size. And then the second important thing on those plant tags, it's the lighting requirements. So what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, they print those tags like one size fits all, you know, from California to New York. So when it says full to part sun, that's supposed to cover all of the states. You have to think about where you live, and out here in California, and if you go inland in the valley, it's so hot, and we don't get any summer rain. So when it says part to full sun, you need to put it in part sun, you know. And if you're back east where you get the nice supplemental winter or summer rains, you can put it in full sun there. So just remember that where you live. Is it hot? Do you get water?
The
Pay
basics.
attention. Yeah, the basics.
Sometimes people forget also that that they'll forget what full sun actually means.
Yeah, full sun. That's a tough one out here because, like I said about the summer water, which we don't get also, are you near a stucco wall or a really hot paver driveway? That's going to just increase the full sun. And not many plants really want that true full sun, no water environment. I just came from Las Vegas, and even out there in the desert, that's full sun, no water environment. So there's not a whole lot that likes that.
It helps in California that you have that nice clay soil that retains the water so well.
Oh, okay. Now I think you're the only person who's ever said nice and clay soil in the same sentence,
I
because
know. I
out
shouldn't
here the
say
clay
that.
soil. Yeah, it kills us out here, that clay soil. It is good. It does retain the water. Kind of an understatement because it's pretty tough. We have a lot of clay soil and we need to amend it a lot. And that's another mistake people make is they, let's say they have a $1,000 budget, $900 goes towards the plants
Good
and
point.
$100 goes towards soil and irrigation. And those two things are probably the most unsexy part of gardening is the irrigation and the soil, but gosh, they're so important.
Oh, they
And
really are.
you've got to really amend that soil and hook it up to irrigation if you want your garden to survive.
And smart irrigation, too. We're actually going to be covering that in a later podcast episode about saving water in the garden. But that's certainly what people should be thinking about is more effective ways to water.
Absolutely. I just kind of see people tune out when they come to me with these questions because what they want to hear first is, okay, this is the colors we're going to do and this is the fun stuff, and they don't want to talk about irrigation.
Oh,
It's just, I see their eyes glaze over, but it's so important, and just kind of bite the bullet and go with the smart irrigation. It's so important, especially out here where water is just so precious, and your garden will just thrive. Then we'll talk about colors.
and then, what are you recommending that people plant this year? I know edibles are particularly hot, and mixing edibles with ornamentals is a very important trend. But are you seeing other gardening trends this year that you're recommending people adopt?
I don't know if it's a gardening trend, but what I do is I really, really emphasize evergreens. And there's just, they're so important. They're the bones of the garden. And right now, so much of the country is still in winter. And now is a great time to look at your garden and see what's your structure. Do you have any structure at all? Or is it all just a deciduous or, perennial garden? And there's so much you can do with foliage. So evergreens, gosh, let's say euonymus, for example. There's just hundreds of varieties of euonymus. Gold foliage, variegated foliage, tall, small, you name it. So I like to plant a lot of those. My designs are real heavy in the evergreens. And then you bring in the showgirls, the flowers, the stars of the spring and summer. But I do that, and then I like to plant a lot of plants that have more than one season's worth of interest. And I really see that becoming more and more of a trend with people, especially just coming out of this recession. People are really cost conscious. And so, why buy one plant where it's just going to be a one-hit wonder when you can really do a little research, get a plant that has, 3 seasons worth of interest. You might get flowers as well as fall foliage, things like that. So, those are probably the two trends that I consistently encourage people to follow.
Well, those are really good trends, and I'm very guilty about that. I tend to be the one who focuses too much on the flowers and not enough on the foliage. And once those flowers are gone, you really do lose a lot of the structure in your garden. So that's a really great idea. And there certainly is a lot of information that people can gather ahead of time before purchasing plants on what the foliage will look like in the fall and whether or not it keeps its shape throughout the winter. Those
Yeah.
things certainly matter, and we do tend to forget. I know I'm definitely guilty about that. Well, if this has all been really helpful, Rebecca, is there anything else that you would recommend people consider this year before they hit the stores?
I would just say spend a little time and do a little planning. Don't walk into the nurseries kind of clueless. You know, arm yourself with some knowledge, because, you know, I love nurseries. They're fabulous, but they're there to sell, and you know, they're not always going to be providing the, you know, specific plants that are going to grow in your area. So if you go in with some base knowledge, you can ask the right questions. If you have pictures, nurseries love pictures. If you show them a spot in your bed and you're like, you know what, this flower bed is just not doing well, what do you recommend? They can give you such intelligent recommendations. So I just say arm yourself with a little bit of knowledge.
Those are great ideas. I'm certainly going to take a picture of that bed I've been trying to rework. I think that'll really help out a lot. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Well,
You're so welcome.
it's been a pleasure having you on, and I did want to let people know that you can follow Rebecca on Twitter. Her Twitter name is Sweet Rebecca, and those of us who do follow Rebecca know that that name is very appropriate for her because she's very sweet and she has lots of good landscape tips that she gives on Twitter. And we're just delighted you could come on today, Rebecca, and thank you very much for all your great advice.
Well, thank you so much. It's been delightful.